Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Hey, Rob Bradford here. I have set out on a mission with my good friends at FanDuel to prove what I have known for some time. Baseball isn't boring. Now I have a daily podcast to prove it with some of the most notable people in the baseball world screaming baseball isn't boring from the mountaintops, or at least agreeing to come on our show. Players, managers, GMs, and yes, even the commissioner of baseball, Rob Manfred. It has been a constant wave of baseball's most powerful voices. So join the revolution. Subscribe and soak in Baseball Isn't Boring. Listen on your Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts. You'll be glad you did.
Looney right baseline, 15 to shoot, posting up pods, right baseline, feeding to Cuddy Kuminga, who soars and slams. 31-30, Golden State takes the lead, Kuminga with 11.
Now, back to Willard and Dibs on 95.7 The Game.
Kevin Dana with the call, Tim Roy back behind the microphone tonight as the Warriors take on New Orleans Pelicans, second half of their final. Back-to-back, you'll hear it all right here on 95.7 The Game. Mark Grandy with Warriors Live immediately following this program. It's Willard and Dibs. Larry Krueger in for Mark Willard today. We're going to talk to Tim Roy coming up here in about 10 minutes and get his thoughts on the last couple of games and also gauge his excitement level on tonight's game. Game 81 of 82, and it's not a must-win, but if you still want to be the 8 seed, it is about as close to a must-win as you could possibly want.
Maybe the most underrated broadcaster in the Bay right now.
Tim Roy.
The great Tim Roy.
Oh, yeah. Although I don't know if he's underrated anymore. California Sportscaster of the Year. He's getting his accolades. He's getting his propers.
Well, you know what, though? I mean, I think he's that good. I think he's been great for years. And we go back to the CFL. We won't bring it up on the show, but...
Oh, yes, we will.
Tim and I sitting poolside in... Winnipeg in the mid-90s.
In the peg. Were you
which
on?
Is not the hottest, you know, not the most fun city in America or in Canada.
You're probably the two hottest bachelors on the pool deck, I'd imagine.
Just sitting there, you know, just thinking about the rouge.
Gotcha.
The single, as they call it.
Were you scouting back then?
Yes, and coaching and scouting.
Okay.
And Tim was the voice of the Sacramento Gold Miners.
Gotcha.
There you go. Tim is versatile.
Keep it coming.
Tim had versatility.
It still does.
Still does.
Tim did a little baseball as well, and I
love Tim because Tim and Tom to me have so much fun and play off each other like an announcing crew that's been together for like 25 years.
Yeah.
And I just think Tom makes Tim makes Tom. It's good stuff.
A little bit like a buddy comedy with those two. They will crack each other up, which is what I like.
Like Tim, if he's going solo, is not going to yuck it up. But when he's got somebody there who's funny with him, he can be very, very funny.
No doubt.
You know what I mean?
Yep.
So I just think Tim's very underrated.
Yeah, and a big one tonight. And Tim is on his way, I'm sure, to the arena, if not already there. So we will talk to the elevated one, Tim Roy, coming up here at 3:15. We want to gauge your excitement level for tonight. 888-957-9570. And I've already said that I'm nervous. And I'm nervous because I think that the Warriors' path to a deep run. And for me, Larry, what I said 2 months ago was if the Warriors can just win a series, if they can just get through the Western Conference quarters, get to the Western Conference semis, and whatever happens then, I'm fine with. For me, winning one series makes this a successful year. And I said a similar thing with the 49ers. My take was,
really?
Get to the Super Bowl for the Niners. I said, if you get to the Super Bowl, even if you lose the Super Bowl, I felt like that would be a successful year. And I said it at the start of the year, and I kept that thread alive because they were good enough to be one of the best teams in football. So you had to go out there and prove it. You had to go out there, if you were healthy, get through the regular year, get through the playoffs. You get to the Super Bowl, and that game's kind of a coin flip, you know? It's a two-week break, and you had your chance to win it, and you didn't. I still felt like the Niner year was a big success.
Yeah. I'm with you. I thought you meant, like, if the Niners had won one series.
No.
I thought you were drawing that comparison.
No, if they would have won just the wild card and then lost in the divisional, that to me would have been a disappointment.
Yeah, I mean, I'm not, you know, Jed said, hey, it would have been a great year, but it wouldn't have been a great year if they had lost at home right to the Lions in the NFC Championship game. That's not a great year.
And I think with this Warrior team, already they're sitting at the 9 seed, and odds are that they're going to wind up as the 9 unless you win both and Sacramento has a hiccup and you find your way to get to the 8. I think you need to get to the 8 and then win that 8-7 game, which will be against either Phoenix or New Orleans. It'd be a New Orleans rematch, perhaps. And, you know, if you beat New Orleans tonight and Phoenix wins, they're in a tie. I think New Orleans still holds the tiebreaker over Phoenix, but I think you need to get into that 8-7 play-in game to have a chance to get the 7 and avoid Denver. If you wind up in the 10-9 game, you'd have to win twice just to get the 8, and then you face Denver. That, to me, is very daunting. Much more daunting than being the 7 and facing either OKC or Minnesota.
Okay, so your barometer for success this year is to just to get out of the play-in?
Win a series.
Or beat Minnesota or OKC in the first round.
Or even Denver, yeah.
Get to the conference semis.
Correct. That, for
which is what they did last year.
Yes, and last year I thought that that was a success, especially when you looked at everything that took place. Now, I was a little bit bummed that they didn't beat the Lakers because it's the Lakers,
yeah.
But you took LA to 6, and after everything they went through last year, you know, you beat Sacramento in 7. That, to me, validated the year enough.
Okay.
And this year, I kind of feel the same way.
For me, I want to see them get out of the play-in and beat somebody in the first round. Minnesota, OKC, preferably. Last year, I wasn't as satisfied with that simply because I didn't like the way Green played. I didn't like the contrast in his ferocity between Sacramento, where he looked like he was out to kill DeMontis Sabonis, and the Laker game, the Lakers series, where he looked like he was about to join the Lakers. And it just seemed like he was totally neutered in that Lakers series. And the
good usage of neutered.
The ferocity of Draymond Green, just where the hell was it against the Lakers last year? He looked like he wanted to be LeBron and AD's buddy. It's how it happens too, but last year bothered me for the contrast in the way he played those two series.
And great use of neutered. And I'm looking at the log right now, and he had 6 points in game one. He had a deuce in game three. He had the Ocho in game four. And I know Draymond's about more than just scoring, but the rebounding was there. I agree with you, though, in terms of the ferocity. It didn't feel like he had that same edge.
Oh, he wanted to crush Sabonis. Sabonis' face was like...
He actually did crush him. He stomped on his chest.
Right.
And he got suspended for a game.
But didn't... I mean, Sabonis had all kinds of facial scars, you know, at the end of that series. He was... I love Draymond. He's my favorite player. He was helping Laker players off the floor in that second round series.
Yeah.
There was no helping anybody off the floor in that Sacramento series. If he had just played it a little bit more to the death like he normally goes in that Lakers series, that would have made me happier. But whatever. Last year was kind of a rough year all the way around.
Yeah, 888-957-9570. Where are your feelings going into tonight's game? Your emotions. We want to talk to Warrior fans today. Dub Nation, where are you? Tim Roy going to join us in 10 minutes. But first, Telmo in San Francisco wants to weigh in. What's going on, Telmo? You're on with Larry and Dibs on Willard and Dibs.
Larry Dibs on Willard and Dibs. Nice to chat with you on a Friday. So I've been listening, and for the last, 2-3 days, and even Larry today saying, you know, he loves Kuminga. I think a lot of people love the idea of Kuminga and what he can be, because he has so much raw potential, and his athleticism is insane, and he'll jump anybody out of the gym. But what I've seen time and time from him, excuse me, and I don't know if it's this idea of him, how athletic he was and who he played against in earlier years, that he was always told how good and dominant he was, and that's the idea he has in his head. And I feel like he's more of a me guy than a team guy. But what I see from him is this, you know, his body and his travels and works faster than his brain does. And my problem is he ever actually ever going to develop into the player that everybody thinks he can be? It's kind of like a two birds in the bush and one in the hand kind of idea with him, because what I've seen the last two games is just poor decision-making. It wasn't just the four turnovers yesterday. He had two bad unnecessary fouls back-to-back. It was the poor decision-making on the turnovers. There was a shot at the end of a quarter where you had Chris Paul on the floor, and instead of Kuminga giving him the ball, the point guard, and letting him make the decisions and maybe get in a position where he could go to the hoop and get an alley-oop or a better position, he ended up, you know, just making a bad decision with the ball.
Tell me, I remember the sequence. I hate to cut you off, but we are up against it, and Tim Roy joining us here in moments. We do have to remember, Larry, that Kuminga is 21 and a half years old.
That's exactly what I was going to say. He's 21. Yeah.
And he has already made such great strides this year, and you could only imagine that he's going to get even better heading into year four. Well, let's step aside, because Tim Roy is going to join us coming up on the other side. Can't wait to get his thoughts and his feelings heading into game 81. It's a big one tonight. Warriors hosting the Pelicans out at Chase Center. Of course, we'll have it here. Tip time at 7. Mark Grandy will have Warriors Live at 6 o'clock right here on 95.7 The Game. We are sponsored by Safeway. Larry's in for Mark. It's Willard and Dibs on 95.7 The Game.
Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
After the end of a good fight, you deserve an ice-cold reward. Medella, the mark of a fighter. You've earned this rich golden lager with a crisp, refreshing taste. Because you know, the bigger the fight, the better the reward. You put in the hours, the energy, the tough labor. You are a fighter, and Modelo is your reward. Modelo, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
Paul, to Thompson, curling off the screen, but good recovery. He'll shoot it anyway. Over Beasley, it's up and good at the three. He's unconscious right now. 20 points, 7 of 10 shooting, 4 of 6 beyond the arc.
Now, back to Willard and Dibs on 95.7 The Game.
The voice of the Warriors, Tim Roy, on the call. Appropriate call to come back with. And Grandy also, the more like big trumpet music we can have today, the better. Because Larry, that's firing me up a little bit, because this game is trumpet worthy. It's game 81, the Pelicans in town to take on the Golden State Warriors, which is why we had to reach out
to the man, the voice, the legend, Tim Roy, who joins Larry and Dibs here on 95.7 The Game. Tim, how excited are you for tonight's game with the Pels in town?
I'm really pumped, Dibs. This is really what you live for as an announcer, to have these type of weekends, these type of games. I think Friday and Sunday are going to be absolutely bonkers in the association. It literally could come down to the final game of the weekend, and I just think it's great. I think it's great that, and I think it's one. It's a nice testament to the league for instituting the play-in, because that's what has everybody so excited right now. Is everybody jockeying for these positions, and the Western play-in bracket is kind of like a playoff bracket of maybe 20 years ago. You got all these great players, separated by only a game or two.
Timmy, good to talk to you, buddy. Klay Thompson, to me, has been the intriguing guy all season. And I really loved listening to Klay with Draymond, talking to Draymond about how he feels when Draymond gets ejected. But to me, it's just the evolution of Klay this year has just been one of the most interesting subplots around this team. You know the man and have seen his whole career. How would you describe the year that Klay has had?
First of all, Larry, it's April. Shouldn't you be calculating the amount of yak yards college wide receivers are going to be doing? Shouldn't you be telling me which running back's going to hit the A gap quicker? I mean, come on.
I did tell Dibs at the commercial break that Michael Hall from Ohio State's working out for the Niners, and we went in deep dive on Michael Hall.
Very nice. Very nice. No, I think Klay is he had a year of discovery. He's discovering who he is at this point of his life as a basketball player, and I think this whole year was him coming to terms with that and to having peace about it. I think he's in a really good spot right now. I think he feels really good about who he is, where he is, and what he's doing, and I think he's just kind of taking away the anxiety. As players get older, I think that there is that meeting that where the mind hits the body and the body says, no, we're not that guy from 10 years ago. And so how players deal with that, I think, really puts a tone on the second half of their careers. And I think the second half of Klay's career, I think, is really looking great now for him in the future, because I think he's come to terms of who he is and how he can be most effective. And I think it's showing with his level of play. I think he's very confident and very relaxed right now.
In the second half of his year, really the last handful of games, 21.8 a game over the last eight, all starts with Klay going from the bench back into the lineup. He's been fantastic. Also on the rise, Tim, Andrew Wiggins. What has led, in your opinion, to this late season renaissance for Andrew Wiggins?
Well, I think Wiggins, there's a couple of things. I think one is that I think he also had, some issues going on. He had to miss a few games. And so I think, in a headspace, that kind of takes you a while to get back into it. And I also think he kind of benefited from when Kuminga sat out, because I think at times, Andrew's not the most demonstrative player you've ever seen. I think at times he's okay deferring to other players because he's a nice guy. And I think with Kuminga out, they needed him to score. They needed him to rebound a little bit more. And so I think it got him going a little bit. And so now I think he feels like he's back in a groove again. So I think he took that time when Kuminga was sidelined and turned it into his own. And now, he's starting to look like the Wiggins of 2022. And that's a huge key for Golden State when they get that guy back. Because not only can he get you points in different ways at one end, on a post-up, catch and shoot three, but then he's also using his length the other end most nights to guard the other team's best offensive player.
We have had a lengthy discussion about Kuminga, and I love where Kuminga's at. He's attacking the hole, but then he's looking to pass if somebody prevents him from getting all the way to the rim. How would you describe the evolution of Jonathan Kuminga?
I think he's kind of like, and I have no reference for this or any talent or base for this, but it's kind of like watching someone sculpt something out of a block. And I think what we're seeing is the player emerging, you know, as the statue emerges from the block, whether it be a rock or the guys who do it with trees and things like that. And so I think, you know, you're seeing that player kind of come forward. And, you know, he's only 21, so you got to remember that. You know, I think we judge young players as if they should be 10-year veterans sometimes, and they're not. And I think the other part is that he's a young 21 in basketball terms because he didn't have, you know, the basketball background that a lot of the other players have had coming into this league. So he's still relatively, you know, a newbie, if you will, you know, playing the NBA basketball. So I think the best is still far ahead of him. And I think as he gets better with his decision-making, reading the play, it's already starting to really slow down for him. He sees the floor a lot better than he did at this time a year ago. And I think that's the exciting part, is that I think he still has a long way to go.
Had he gone the college route, he'd be in his senior season, all things considered, with this being his third year pro-wise with Golden State. Tim Roy, voice of the Warriors, joining us here on 95.7 The Game. Trayce Jackson-Davis, Tim, has obviously come on and played great since he's been inserted in the starting lineup, and his emergence has been key in unlocking everyone else defensively. How do you think he fares tonight going up against a couple of bigs, most likely Jonas Valanciunas?
Well, I think it's going to be important for him not to get into early foul trouble. And that's easier said than done when you're trying to, you know, get in the way of Zion. And Valanciunas, I was just talking to someone before I came out with you guys, another basketball person, and we were talking about how underrated we think Valanciunas is. Yeah, he's got good hands. He can score around the basket. He's huge. He's a good rebounder. And so that's going to be a tall order for, no pun intended, for Jackson Davis tonight. And I think it's good for his education. But they're going to need him to give them vertical spacing on the offensive end. And as you mentioned, a little rim protection, because it's really, you know, he fills this hole that the Warriors have. And I think they've discovered now at this point of this season that they're really good when he's out there as a 5 and Draymond as a 4. And I think that's one of their keys to their defense becoming so much better here in the latter stages of the season.
You know, Zion's really amazing, and yet Draymond Green's one of the great defenders in this era. What do you think of that matchup tonight, and how do you feel about it?
I think, now I may be biased here, but I think Draymond's one of the best defenders of all time. I don't think you're going to find too many guys in the history of this league who are as smart and as you know, talented defensively as Draymond is. But be that as it may, I think Draymond's got, you know, he's got the hands full with the youth and the size and the quickness of Zion. But I think Draymond also has the veteran, you know, guile, and I think he's a veteran knowledge. So I think it's going to be a great matchup. And I think, you know, the Warriors, you know, they know how important this game is. And you know, they could make their lives a little bit easier if they can get a win tonight, maybe get some help and maybe get into an eight position, which would put them on the road, which has not been a problem this year. But it gives you two games to make the playoffs instead of one. And that's always better.
And thinking about that, Tim, and, you know, getting to the 8 and potentially winning the 8-7 game and having a crack to take on Minnesota or OKC, which team in the first round of the playoffs potentially do you think gives them the best chance to possibly pull off an upset in advance?
Boy, that's I think the Warriors have played some really good games against Denver, but I don't think you want to see Jokic in the first round. You know, I think you want to see him later on if you can. But, you know, Oklahoma City and Minnesota, they're both really talented teams. The Warriors had some crazy tight games against OKC this year. So maybe that's a better matchup for them than Minnesota. Minnesota has length, and they've got Ant-Man, and they've got, you know, I think the Warriors know how to play against Rudy Gobert in a playoff series. But I don't think they or just about everybody else has figured out how to slow down Naz Reid. He's on the all-Warrior opponent team for sure.
Oh, I know. He just looks like a three-point sniper, too. I mean, it's amazing at that size.
Tim, I mean, there's so many different things we could talk about, but 17-4 in the last 21 on the road. You travel with his team. You're on the planes. You're eating meals with these guys. Why are they 17-4 in the last 21 on the road? What's the key to that?
I think, well, one, their defense has been so much better, and then of the 21 road games, I think Draymond's played in just about all of them, and that's been a huge key. Getting him back from suspension is when this team started to play, you know, better basketball, and their defense got a lot better, and so that's part of it. And I think the having, you know, the core with, you know, Steph, Clay, and Dre, and then you add Chris Paul. Now you got four guys who don't mind, in fact, probably relish the chance to walk into another arena. And if you go back to the old, you know, Western movie matchup, you know, the good guys always wore, the home team always wore the white hats, the road team wore the black hats, right? You know, the villain always had the black hat on. So I think they have four guys that don't mind wearing that black hat and look forward to the silencing crowd. So I think that's a big part of it. Is I think they have four, you know, future Hall of Famers, all of whom love to silence crowds on the road. So I don't think a crowd being noisy at all really affects that.
Chris Paul is a pro's pro. We've all been watching him for darn near two decades, yet there was some thought that maybe he wouldn't gel with his team because of the old, I don't know about feud, but just a tense relationship with Draymond Green. Are you even more impressed than you thought you'd be at just how well he's fit with this team?
I think the fact that he, remember the big story in the summer, is he going to start? And the fact that he just said, you know, okay, fine, I'll come off the bench, never made a stink about it, said, okay, let's do this. I think it just shows you two things. One, how, you know, professional he is. That at his heart, he is a pro basketball player who understands, you know, where he is and at what point of his career he's at. But also, two, I think he realized that him coming off the bench was the best thing for this team to win. And so even though it didn't show at times because of a variety of reasons, including Chris Paul getting hurt, I think when it shows that he's willing to do whatever it is to win. And I would love to see the Warriors get a nice run going just to see, get Chris Paul that hunger and chance, you know, that maybe the Warriors could pull off a couple of upsets here and make things really interesting.
Are you surprised, Tim, that Kerr has been able to keep this thing together? You know, the Draymond hit on Nurkic and all the different things that happened this year, and, you know, trying to work two rookies into the rotation and develop guys, and Wiggins has missed time, and Clay's had, you know, this catharsis kind of, you know, come to grips moment in his career. Are you surprised that Kerr's been able to, you know, get to here we are second week in April and the thing's feeling good and the players are all feeling good? Does that surprise you at all?
No, I'm not surprised because, you know, everybody, you know, wants to criticize rotations and minutes, and they all want their favorite five to play 48 minutes, and, you know, they want this guy to start, but they don't really tell you who they want on the bench. And then, but they all they kind of underestimate what Steve is, and that's he's a former pro basketball player who's the head coach. So he's been with the situation of anxiety. He communicates well with his team, and that's why they're able to overcome, you know, the situation with Draymond. That's why they're overcome the situation with Clay this year. With Clay was a little anxious about things, and that's why he's able to convince guys like Chris Paul and Clay Thompson and Andre Iguodala, stars in this league, that coming off the bench is the right thing to do. And that's because he's a great communicator, and because, you know, the players really respect him when what he has to say. He's not phony. You know, he goes to them and tells them exactly what's on his mind and what he thinks is going to happen. And so there's a value in that. And so I think he is a tremendous NBA head coach. We see he's been able to do this not only with this team, but he did it during the Durant years. That's really hard on a coach when you have to juggle all those personalities and egos. And I think Steve does it as well as anybody that, you know, we've seen in the modern era.
Tim, thanks for joining us. Appreciate you sharing some of your excitement, and we look forward to hearing you on the call tonight with the Pelicans taking on the Warriors at 7 o'clock.
Larry, who's got the best feet of an offensive lineman coming in the draft?
You know, it's probably Mason McCormick of the South Dakota Jackrabbits, but I'll double check that and I'll text you later. Good to talk to you, bro.
You knew you'd have an answer, Tim.
Sorry, man. Yeah. All right.
It's so great. See, thank you, Tim. And don't miss Larry's Dream Niner draft board coming up.
That's right.
6:05, actually. We're going to take that one straight to video.
Oh, really? Nice.
That would maybe catch that one offline. Tim Roy, glad to have him back behind the mic. And he is as excited as we are, if not more excited, Larry, for what you can only size up as a huge game tonight out at Chase Center.
I always love it when Tim goes, and he was fouled.
Oh, yeah.
Fouled.
Just the way he says
Just the way he says fouled.
It's fantastic.
That's awesome stuff.
Now, you can catch us on Twitch and YouTube. Head to twitch.tv/957thegame. YouTube.com/957thegame. Watch us live. If anyone swears, you get to hear it.
What?
Yeah, and it's happened, believe
me. I swear.
I have. I've sworn before. It was foolish. But I did it.
Oh,
yeah, there it was.
Oh, there you go.
Grandy dumped it, but the YouTube and Twitch audience.
I'll swear it, Grandy. Maybe for a little extra coin. Do you get any bonuses with extra swearing?
No.
No, actually the opposite.
Oh, yeah. Really?
Well, it's funny because
fines.
The boss is out of town, so you might actually get away with it. Although the boss behind the boss is right behind the glass, Lucas Alexander. And he,
I've sworn at Lucas
for
many
his
a time.
Iron fist.
So I think you better be careful.
I swore at him earlier. Subscribe to the channel on YouTube for all 957 The Game content. You can subscribe on Twitch and YouTube. Make sure to hit that thumbs up button on YouTube when you like the show. It's powered by First NorCal Credit Union. And download the free Odyssey app by scanning the QR code in the bottom right corner of our Twitch and YouTube streams with your smartphone. Thanks again to Tim Roy for taking a few moments out of his drive into the arena to talk to us. And yeah, setting the stage, Larry, for a big one tonight against the Pelicans.
Can't wait. It's going to be good. And, you know, all I would say is I hope Golden State, you know, brings it from the beginning.
Yeah.
Because if it's Portland was sitting around last night waiting to get beat. It's a bunch of young pieces that don't fit together. They were 2-13 in their last 15. And, you know, Golden State could just kind of just kind of run up and down, and then, okay, 7 minutes left in the game, let's buckle down. And then sure enough, they did.
Yeah.
Golden State got the win. That same scenario will not be successful tonight.
No, against a Pelicans team that is coming off an explosive game over Sacramento. And they actually beat the Kings 5 times this year, which is very strange when you only play a team 4 times based on the schedule. But that play-in tournament allowed them to play a 5th time. And New Orleans won that game as well. Interesting what you say. And Larry's in for Mark today. It's Willard and Dibs on 95.7 The Game. The Warriors had a little bit of a tough time last night. So says Steve Kerr.
Yeah, it was a tough night for us. We did not execute very well. But, you know, these are tricky games. We were obviously resting, you know, Clay and Draymond, who were, you know, banged up. And with the back-to-back, we're hoping to take care of business tonight. And Portland, I give them a lot of credit. They played really hard, and they made things much more difficult on us. But we pulled through in the end.
Shouldn't be a problem tonight as far as getting up for the game. And, you know, they rested Clay last night. They rested Draymond. GP2 was unavailable. We don't know about his status yet for tonight, but it's tough when you play these bottom feeder teams as the game before the game. It's human nature, right, Larry, to kind of let your guard down a little bit.
Well, I thought it was interesting listening to Tim Roy talk about he thought the key to their success on the road was the fact that Green played all those games, and now Draymond back in there tonight should give the Warriors, you know, a little bit more on the defensive end, a little bit more just connectivity. I would love it if Peyton played. I mean, Peyton's becoming my favorite player. Did you see the other night where they had a bunch of little girls out there singing the national anthem, and he's shaking hands with all of them, and he says to one of them, "I really like your hair." Did you see
no,
that?
No, I didn't see that.
I mean, GP2 is just, I mean, he's just a golden personality,
yeah.
Man.
Yeah, yeah, and then you saw him against the Lakers where Will Ferrell is standing behind him, and Will's got his dad's jersey, and Will's like kind of posing for pictures with Will in the background, and then Will sees Steph, and he goes over and daps him up, and GP2 is kind of sheepishly just grinning and enjoying the moment. He's a guy who you can tell is cherishing every moment that he's out there as an NBA player.
I did not like the trade that sent Wiseman to Portland, you know, to the Detroit Pistons and brought, or right, was it? Yeah, it was Pistons, right? And,
yeah, 5 second rounders.
And GP2 came back in that deal. But I just love having GP2 back because, I mean, you just, you get the feeling that there's going to be sequences in the playoffs and he's going to be uniquely, you know, positioned to either, he's actually kind of a finisher inside. I mean, you know, you don't think of a 6'4 guard
right.
as a finisher in the lane, but he is kind of a finisher in the lane and we know what he can do defensively.
Well, he provides on-ball defense better than anyone else on your team. And if you look at the Warriors' defensive deficiencies, that's what it is, because Klay doesn't have the same lateral movement. He said so on the Draymond podcast. He doesn't have the same ability to guard like he used to. Steph is not the same on-ball defender that he once was, and he was never a lockdown defender. Wiggins is pretty good at it, but he can't really stick with the super quick guards. But GP2, with that singular mindset defensively and great length, he's the kind of guy you need to have out there in these tough games. So hopefully he'll be able to give it a go tonight because they need his on-ball defense badly.
Yeah. And, you know, the NBA has a handful of guys. I think of him. I think of, like, Josh Hart, a couple other guys around the league that, you know, they're way, way, way more valuable than the average fan thinks.
Yeah. Especially when you look at a team that has championship aspirations, a team that has won championships, you need to have a glue guy, because we know when it comes to buckets, they've got the best bucket getter in the association. And Steve Kerr talked about how the chef came through clutch again last night.
Yeah, I mean, Steph's done that a million times, so it never surprises you. Obviously, wasn't his best shooting night, but made some big ones down the stretch and competed really well. And, you know, we played him more than we wanted to, but, you know, we got it done, and now we've got a chance to, you know, play New Orleans tomorrow and get a win and put ourselves in a pretty good spot.
36 minutes and 22 seconds for the chef, and Steve talked about the big shots he made. 8 points in the fourth quarter, including two big three balls that one staved off a little bit of a Portland rally, and the last one kind of staked the Warriors to that last bit of a lead that they were able to hold on to and got a much-needed win over Portland. But all eyes on tonight, 888-957-9570. We got time to take your phone calls about your excitement level heading into tonight's game against the Pelicans. A win keeps the 8-seed dream alive for another day. Of course, the season ends on Sunday. Where are you at, Dub Nation? Are you excited? I myself am nervous about tonight's game. We'd love to hear from you. 888-957-9570. New Orleans color commentator Antonio Daniels joins us at 4:15. Time for your calls next. We are presented by Fremont Bank. Full service banking, no compromises. It's Willard and Dibbs with Larry in for Mark on 95.7 The Game.
Hey, Rob Bradford here. I have set out on a mission with my good friends at FanDuel to prove what I have known for some time: baseball isn't boring. Now I have a daily podcast to prove it with some of the most notable people in the baseball world screaming baseball isn't boring from the mountaintops, or at least agreeing to come on our show. Players, managers, GMs, and yes, even the commissioner of baseball, Rob Manfred. It has been a constant wave of baseball's most powerful voices. So join the revolution. Subscribe and soak in baseball isn't boring. Listen on your Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts. You'll be glad you did.
Now, back to Willard and Dibbs on 95.7 The Game.
Well, not exactly the heavy trumpeted pomp and circumstance rejoin I was hoping for, but Billy Idol, I'm not mad at it. A white wedding. Which,
did you ever go see Billy Idol in concert back in the day?
No, but if there were dueling concerts, Billy Idol versus Billie Eilish, it's an easy no-brainer. It's Billy Idol 10 times and 11 times on Sunday.
There you go.
Not a huge fan of Billie Eilish, as I call her.
No. I do remember a Billy Idol concert back in like the 7th grade.
Yeah?
Oh, yeah. A long time ago.
Where was it? Concord Pavilion?
Where was that? It was in the city. I forget where it was.
All right. Look at you.
Billy Idol. 7th grade.
Flexing on some Billy Idol. That's awesome. Warriors Live starts at 6 o'clock tonight with Mark Grandy live from Ballast Point on 16th Street, just a few blocks west of Chase Center. Interesting, because I'm looking to my right now, and I see Mark Grandy.
Hardest working guy in the biz
right
now.
And he is not at Ballast Point, and he's got 2 hours and 10 minutes to make his
plenty
way.
Of time.
What's the game plan, Grandy? How long do we have you before you make your exodus?
I'll be taking off in about an hour.
Will you get a scooter and be riding it on the sidewalk?
I will not be riding it on the sidewalk. I might take a scooter, but probably not. I'll probably go public transport to get over there.
Oh, you're not even going to walk?
No. I could, but that's
how many blocks is it?
It's probably from here about a mile and three quarters, I would say.
You're going to lean on Muni to get there?
I know my way around the city. We'll be fine.
Oh, look at this guy. He knows the city.
He lives in the city, so.
Where are you from? Where are you from, Grandy? Where are you from, punk?
Where am I from or where am I living currently?
Where are you from?
Sonoma County.
Windsor.
Okay.
He's a Windsor kid.
Windsor.
Yeah. Yeah.
Nice.
Lovely town.
Oh, it's a beautiful, very underrated town.
Yeah. Well, if you're heading to the game or in
there's
the area tonight.
A lot of vineyards over there.
Yeah, a good golf course at
How did
Windsor.
He escape the mean streets of Windsor?
Oh, so mean.
You get up to, you go to Eugene, Oregon, and then you make your way down here to the city.
There you go.
And you craft a little bit of a career. If you are headed to the game or in the area tonight, stop by for a drink and a burger. Say hi to the Grandy Man, who can and does, and get ready for Dubs versus Pelicans. That's tonight. Warriors live at 6 o'clock. Mark Grandy holding it down from Ballast Point on 16th Street, just a few blocks west of Chase Center. Larry's in for Mark today. It's Willard and Dibs. 888-957-9570 is your phone number. We want to hear from Warrior fans about your excitement level heading into tonight. And also, who you want? Who do you want a piece of in the play-in game? Because you're not going to make it to the sixth seed. And you're going to be in the play-in. Do you want a piece of New Orleans? Do you want a New Orleans rematch? You want Phoenix if they make it there? Sacramento or the Lakers?
Come on, you want Sacramento. You definitely want Sacramento.
Because they're wounded.
Well, I mean, Herter's done for the year. Malik Monk done for the year. They're just kind of reeling. You definitely want Sacramento. Sacramento has no confidence against Golden State. They lost the decisive game last year on their home floor.
Yeah.
Sacramento is, without Malik Monk, DOA. They're cooked.
They sure looked like they were struggling last night a little bit. New Orleans came in and put a buck 35 on them. Harrison Barnes, former Dub, with 22 in the loss. De'Aaron Fox continues to show that he's one of the 15, 12 best players in the association, but they just don't have enough outside shooting without Monk and Herter, I think.
Yeah, I mean, Monk was the guy that I always feared when the Warriors played them, just because he can get hot in an instant and carry a team for a quarter and a half. And without him and no Herter, their firepower is not great. And, you know, Barnes has been disappointing all year. I just feel like Sacramento's limping towards the finish line.
No doubt, and they're in danger of falling out of the 8 seed. Right now they're in a three-way tie with the Lakers and the Golden State Warriors. If the Kings can win out, and Warriors, Lakers, and Kings each have 2 games left to go, Sacramento's got Phoenix tonight at home, and then Portland, which I guess we can't look past Portland anymore after the scare they gave the Warriors last night, but I think tonight's the night, Larry. You've got Kings and Suns at 7:30, Warriors and Pelicans at 7 o'clock. So you'll have an idea by about 10 o'clock tonight whether or not the 8 seed is still viable. If the Warriors lose to New Orleans and Sacramento wins, well, then you're officially eliminated from the 8 seed.
Well, and Portland's been circling the drain, but you got to remember about last night. No Jeremy Grant, no Anthony Simons.
Yep.
No Matisse Thybulle. They were shorthanded too last night.
Yeah, they were, and yet they gave the Warriors a real scare, and it's in part because no Klay and no Draymond, but also the Warriors, I thought, kind of went into that in second gear, and we were talking about the human nature aspect of that. It's hard to really get up for Portland in that spot. Now, Sacramento, if they win tonight over Phoenix, they're going to go into that game knowing that it's a win and in for the 8 seed situation. So maybe the motivation's a little bit easier for Sacramento tomorrow than it was for the Dubs last night.
Yeah, that's a good point. I just think give me Sacramento. Of the choices that you presented, give me Sacramento for sure. I mean, wouldn't you agree with that?
No doubt.
Yeah.
No doubt.
And who would be the second team you'd want to play if it wasn't Sacramento?
Well, I think the Lakers would be the emotional pick just because that would be such a fun game to watch. And, you know, matchup-wise, though, the Lakers do pose a problem for Golden State. So,
and there will be Anthony Davis this time.
Yes, and LeBron. You would imagine they both would be up and ready to go. For me, it would probably be, if it's not Sacramento, it would be Phoenix if they found a way to fall down. And I don't know if they can fall down to the nine. They can't. So if you get up to the eight, then you'd be hoping that you get a chance to take on Phoenix. Maybe New Orleans rises to the six and you get a chance to take on the Suns. I don't think there is a good answer on the second team you'd want to face.
Yeah. Phoenix is a weird team because they do have enormous talent. They have high-end talent. At times when you watch them, they play with swagger, and they've had some of the worst losses in the last month. So it's hard to kind of gauge what Phoenix team you'd really be getting.
Yeah, and they've had bad losses throughout the course of the year, really, and that's been the thing about Phoenix. And I looked yesterday at their preseason over-under, and it was at 50.5.
Right.
So they've been woefully disappointing. The Warriors, for their part, their over-under was 48, so they're going to fall short of that mark, but they've at least shown signs of life over the second half, and certainly since Draymond got back from his suspension. But you mentioned Sacramento being the team you'd want to play. They've lost 4 of 5, and they've lost 6 of 9. So a lot of those games have come since they lost Malik and Herter, but it's been a team that is absolutely on the ropes.
Yeah, they feel like they're just hanging by a thread. You know, like, the Warriors have so much more momentum going right now than Sacramento does. I would welcome that series. Absolutely welcome. And I actually loved it when the Warriors played Sacramento last year. I thought it energized NorCal. I think it's great to see these teams that are within, 100 miles of each other, locking horns. You know, and it's funny because, you know, doing the YouTube show, I've got Giants fans, Niners fans, and then I'm a Warrior fan. But there's a lot of Giants, Niners, Kings fans.
Right, right.
Because it's kind of the Bay Area adjunct market, you know? So it creates a little extra juice.
Right, because if you're in Sacramento and you don't have a football team and
the Niners, yeah.
Right.
Niner fan, you're a Giant fan, but basketball time, you know.
Oh, you're a Kings fan. And I wonder how much of that goes back. I guess older fans, like fans our age, would be Niner fans by default because of the old Rockland days. When the Niners would decamp in Rockland,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, but they're all Niner fans, even to this minute. But what really is interesting is the basketball fan in Sacramento that's, you know, predated the Kings. So, you know what? I'm a big Warrior fan, even though I live in whatever. You know, I live in El Dorado Hills. There's a lot of that because, you know, obviously the Kings didn't get to Sacramento until like 88.
Right. Right.
So, I mean, if you were an NBA fan before 1988, and that's, you know, there's an awful lot of good basketball in there in the 70s. Warriors won a title with Rick Barry and this and that. Even if you're in that next generation with Run TMC, you're a Warrior fan. Now, some of them jumped, I'm sure, to Kings fans, but a lot of them, you know, and then now you can get the NBA package. It's like you can be anywhere and watch any team and that kind of thing. So, they made it hard for a while, though. They've kind of force-fed Kings basketball to you for a while up there.
Well, they were dreadful for so long, and then they had a great run with, you know, Peja and Vlade and the boys.
Weber.
And since then, they've kind of recessed back, but a nice renaissance for Sacramento. And, you know, you hate to see any team suffer that kind of an injury down the stretch, but then if you're a Warrior fan, you do have to lick your chops a little bit at the prospect of maybe facing Sacramento in the play-in. Sacramento with Phoenix tonight at home, 7:30, as mentioned. That's on NBA TV if you're looking to toggle between ball games.
What's the spread in that thing? What would you say? You think Phoenix is favored?
By 4.5, yeah, I just looked.
Oh, 4.5, okay.
Yeah, at Sacramento. So Kings playing the second game in a row at home, and you know Phoenix playing to try to stay out of the play-in themselves. So definitely motivation on both sides. Phoenix needs a win. They need a couple of wins and a couple of New Orleans losses in order to get themselves out of the play-in and up to the sixth seed.
I don't think it's going to happen. But hopefully one of those New Orleans losses is tonight. Yeah, that's what we're hoping for. And I think tonight's going to be interesting from the standpoint of how does Golden State start? You know, how do they start? And the one thing that Kerr, you know, mentioned is that they played Steph a few extra minutes. You know,
yeah, 36.
How much juice does Steph have on what the 17th back to back on a grueling season in a game that I'm sure Golden State would much rather have been able to be in a rest mode? Instead, they're trying to get their guy to play probably big minutes tonight. So it's, you know, it's gonna be, that to me is gonna be really interesting. How bouncy is Steph tonight?
Yeah, he sat out against Utah, which was 5 days ago, and then he played 32 minutes against the Lakers, and he turned around last night 36 minutes and 22 seconds, and he had to dig deep in that fourth quarter to help carry the Warriors to the victory. You're listening to 95.7 The Game, KGMZ FM in HD1, San Francisco. Always live on the free Odyssey app, Twitch, and YouTube, powered by First NorCal Credit Union. Upgrade your savings dividend. Open a First NorCal First Class Money Market today.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
What up, y'all? It's your boy Danny Green, 3-time NBA champ. You either rooted for me or rooted against me. Join myself and my co-host Harrison Sanford on the Inside the Green Room podcast.
It's a podcast that brings you never-before-told tales from the locker room to candid interviews with basketball legends to breakdowns of what's happening in the NBA right now. Whether you're a diehard fan or casual about your hoops, this podcast brings you the game like never before.
Follow Inside the Green Room on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.